Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about how popular video conferencing software Zoom is landing itself in a bit of hot water over what it is currently doing with its data in relation to artificial intelligence. So without further ado, let's jump into it. So essentially, the headline here is that Zoom is facing a bunch of new criticism over its privacy policies. This has been criticized a lot lately, but essentially this time it's related to a clause that allows the video conferencing platform to use customer data to train AI models, and they're doing this without an opt-out, which a lot of people are obviously concerned about, right? Like, a lot of people, when they find out their data is about to be used, ingested by AI models, they would just, you know, simply like to say, no, thank you, I don't want this. And it appears the only way to opt out of this is to switch over to a different video conferencing platform like Google Meet or something else. And, you know, that's left to be said. People have to scour through their privacy policy to see what Google Meet plans on doing it with, you know, everything in AI that Google is doing. So this whole controversy began when a March 2023 update to Zoom's terms and conditions was highlighted for essentially allowing Zoom expansive rights to usage. The product they said was going to be used for analytics or for any purpose, including training its AI. So we got a lot of backlash, pushback on social media over its lack of, control that users have on how their data and their video calls are being used. But on closer inspection, some users actually suggested the no opt-out applied only to non-content data Zoom generates from usage, so not necessarily your private meeting contents. Still a lot of people are uncomfortable with Zoom repurposing their information to develop AI that could automate their role, right? If you're doing something on Zoom, a lot of people are concerned that the AI is just going to replace whatever they're doing, and essentially they're giving over the data the way they do that for free. So the key clause in Zoom's terms allow it extensive usage rights of all non-content data. However, a bolded line actually emphasizes content is still required for audio, video, or chat customer content in AI training. So this implies that Zoom is treating consent as delegatable, and essentially to the account admins that can, quote, provide consent on behalf of all users. Now, that is where a lot of people are a little bit concerned, right? They're saying, you know, you don't get an opt-out if it's non-content, but essentially they're saying that their own account admins can provide consent on behalf of all users, and so really they're saying there's no opt-out for anything, including your video content. And it's kind of just a sneaky way of doing that, which a lot of people are not happy about. So EU law actually requires per individual consent if claimed as a legal basis for data processing. So the e-privacy directive also mandates confidentiality of electronic communications without consent. So in response to the whole uproar and the controversy, Zoom updated its terms to, you know, confirm that no customer content will train AI without consent. But its blog post gives some mixed signals on this, again, really concerning a lot of people. Essentially, their blog post is, you know, depicting account admin menus as, quote, providing consent, while participants merely get, quote, notice if AI meeting summaries are enabled. And so the whole, you know, notice, I think, is a pop-up informing participants that account owners allowed their input to train Zoom's AI, and the two options are got it or leave meeting. So it really doesn't give, you know, it really forces someone in the meeting to accept the AI data sharing or essentially just withdraw from the meeting, like use it and have it added to the AI corpus or withdraw from the meeting. Those are your two options, and essentially, you know, go find a different video platform. So if Zoom is claiming consent as its legal basis in the EU, I think this notice process likely fails requirements like informed, specific, freely giving consent with no nudging pre-selections. Telling users, you know, you're free to leave doesn't really equal freely given consent to process personal data. So Zoom avoids directly, you know, confirming its legal basis, but reiterates participants can leave meetings if unhappy with AI data sharing. So essentially they're saying it is how it is, and, you know, you gotta just not use the platform. So under EU law, that does not constitute valid consent. Even the admin consent process looks problematic with, you know, pre-checked data sharing boxes. Administrators have to actually notice an unchecked to opt out of, right? This isn't something that you can opt into. This is something that the admins of the meeting have to figure out how to go and opt out of. So according to one legal view, Zoom essentially is relying not on consent, but on performance of contract. So that's applying US law notions of data ownership. However, EU law recognizes metadata as personal data requiring proper consent. And this makes a lot of sense, right? Included in your metadata could be, you know, the GPS location where a photo was taken, or a lot of other highly sensitive content. And so with higher bars for sensitive data in the EU, this could potentially become problematic because, in light of this, Zoom's communication also suggests it believes that metadata needs no consent. So another area where, you know, there is an issue. So with video and audio content also considered personal data, Zoom likely needs explicit opt-in consent from users for data to train its AI offerings in the EU, and merely, you know, noticing participants, I think, really falls short of this. So without a main EU establishment, Zoom faces, you know, full scrutiny on data practices by any of the bloc's regulators. And I think that while Zoom may hope that some of the oversight is kind of lax, and, you know, lets it drive the new AI tools that they're trying to create, I think the substantial GDPR fines and additions of e-privacy duties along most places in the EU are really going to be painful for them. So for a company feeling pressure to keep, you know, pace with generative AI, ignoring regional safeguards is a high-risk legal strategy. And here's a few other points about this whole Zoom situation that I thought might be relevant. So number one, Zoom's privacy policy controversy comes just a few years after a previous FTC settlement over misleading claims about encryption and security. And that's, you know, had repeated privacy issues. These sort of repeated privacy issues, I believe, may actually hurt consumers and also regulator trust. So the other thing to bring up, I think, is that details are still kind of unclear about exactly what types of data Zoom is using its AI for its AI systems. So metadata only, or, you know, also some meeting content. So its communications have also been vague on that. EU, here's one other thing also that I think to take to note, is that EU regulators recently required OpenAI to offer opt-out for ChatGPT data processing. So, you know, though for chatbots, consent may be the only legal basis, I think this suggests EU authorities see limits to using data for AI training. One other thing to bring up is that with video and voice data considered highly sensitive, EU DPAs may take a strict view that Zoom needs opt-in consent for its meeting summaries or transcription AI. And then the other thing is just the fact that Zoom is, you know, it's a non-EU company. And so Zoom risks enforcement by any of the bloc's regulators, unlike big tech firms with a lead authority like Ireland's DPA. And so I think that is just more exposure. All in all, I think, you know, while trying to really quickly match AI competition, Zoom could draw some pretty swift regulatory action in the EU if it handles consent carelessly or if it doesn't tightly limit data usage to just what's needed for core services. And I definitely think clearer communication and controls is going to help Zoom to avoid this whole privacy storm in the future. So this is going to be a very interesting area to watch, not just for Zoom, but for other companies trying to do similar things in the future. definitely something I'll keep you updated on.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT Creators Community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.